This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
We pretty much have to put our next guest on the hot seat immediately by asking if he's ready to back up Bill Nye the Science Guy, and if not, he'd be anti-science. I think we all agree on that, former MLB GM, now with the MLB Network, Steve Phillips is going to be joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and MLB Network will conclude its top 100 players right now countdown series live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Two Guardians already in the top 90. But they're going to be revealing the top 10 players in the sport tonight. Steve will appear on the show along with Greg Amsinger and former All-Star Chris Young. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Big Bill Nye fan. Bill Nye, the science guy. Big, big Bill Nye fan. And here's the thing. I think Bill Nye predicted that Jose Ramirez would be a top 10 player. And lo and behold, he will be one of the top 10 players tonight. We don't know where he'll be lined up within the top 10. They have not told us yet going on the show, so it's going to be a surprise in the unveiling to us like it is everybody else. But I can tell you that Jose Ramirez is a top 10 player in Major League Baseball.
So we feel in Cleveland that Jose is still underrated. And even Stephen Vogt out at camp this week said, you know, not enough people know how great he is outside of Cleveland. I'm not trying to run counter to the top 10 tonight, but do you think that Jose is still somewhat underrated?
You know, it's funny. Aaron Boone gets so mad, right? Every time people always say how underrated he is, he's like, he's not underrated. We think he's amazing. We think he's great. And, you know, I think part of it is he's an unassuming guy. He doesn't search the spotlight. And when you think about how great he is, I mean, he doesn't have Aaron Judge hitting behind him. He doesn't have Juan Soto hitting in front of him. You know, and so like he doesn't have necessarily always the supporting cast of studs around him. It's, you know, it's a team of good players, but you know, they can't afford the impact great players necessarily, but Jose Ramirez is great. And so I don't know that he's underrated. I mean, I think he's going to slide in somewhere in the top 10, and I think that's where he belongs. So I think that, but I get it. Like, I don't think that people really understand 41 stolen bases, 39 home runs last year, nearly a 40-40 player. And, you know, he's been in the top 3 in MVP multiple times. He's now in the top 10 players in baseball, I think, for the third time, fifth time of the top 20. So, you know, I think the game, within the game, I think it's recognized. But he just doesn't get the notoriety of some of the other stars out there.
Yeah, we've been keeping track, obviously, of the list. And, I mean, there's some big names from 20 to 11, you know, Bryce Harper and, you know, Kyle Tucker, guys like that. What's interesting to me, though, is that Francisco Lindor is going to crack the top 10 as expected. Do you feel like J-Ram and the weird battle we still have between J-Ram and Lindor, is J-Ram going to best Lindor? Do you feel like Lindor has cemented himself as the better of the two?
Oh, it's interesting, right? I mean, that head-to-head battle between those two. You know, I think that, you know, Lindor, remember the first year with New York was not great. And, you know, I'm in the New York area still, and I've seen and had players that could play elsewhere and then came in and couldn't get it done in New York. But he turned it back around. In the last couple of years, he's been a 30-30 guy, and and you know, elite level shortstop. My guess is that Jose Ramirez ends up slightly ahead of Francisco Lindor on the list. That would be my guess. On my list, I would have Jose Ramirez ahead of Francisco Lindor, but both of them within the top 10, and both, you know, elite level players. And, it, you know, boy, it's a shame, right? Can you imagine if they had been able to stay together forever in their careers and started and finished there in Cleveland, and what that would have looked like and could have been like. But certainly, you know, listen, Francisco Lindor loved his time in Cleveland. But he is enjoying it right now with the Mets, and certainly Mets fans are enjoying having him too. You know, Steve Cohen, the owner, you know, I heard some ridicule after the contract they gave him initially, but now he's thinking to himself, this was a bargain with what I'm getting from this guy.
Steve Phillips of MLB Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Bill Nye, the science guy, goes on MLB Network, calls the Guardians his 2025 World Series winner prediction there. What are the things that have to go right specific with this team for them to go ahead and finally break through that glass roof and not just get to World Series but win it?
Yeah, I think they need more from the starting pitching. I mean, the bullpen got worked so hard last year, and they were phenomenal, and they were up to the challenge. But my experience is that from one year to the next, it's really hard. You know, the bullpen's where we make our most mistakes because it's so hard to quantify the impact of innings and appearances, how many times a guy warmed up and sat down in a new year, and, you know, a guy makes mistakes, and how it impacts the energy of the individual and the team. And so, you know, I think they need to get more innings from the starting pitching. They need to take on more responsibility and more of the workload to protect the bullpen. I don't know that you can ask these guys to take a second year, you know, of four guys, you know, three or four guys, 70 appearances and, you know, 50 appearances, 60 appearances. And so I do think that the starting pitching needs to step up, and they need the emergence of somebody in addition to Jose Ramirez to be a big bat in the lineup. You know, can it be John Kenzie Noel with the big home run he hit last year? And like, I love watching that guy play, but they need somebody else to be more than a blender. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be Carlos Santana. I like Carlos Santana for the team. I like his patience. I like his getting on base. I like his defense. I like everything about him. But they need somebody else. They need somebody else to be an aircraft carrier that is within the organization, because you can't buy power arms and power bats in Cleveland. You can't afford it. The price is too high. And so somebody's got to start to emerge as an impact offensive player and not just a guy to keep the line moving. Because otherwise, you just have to keep relying upon, can we score enough today? Can we hold them, the opposition, down to where we can get that fourth run to try to win a game? That's putting so much pressure on your pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimenez now in Toronto, and obviously Naylor in Arizona. And it's funny, I was watching the MLB Network the other day, and you guys were doing a winners and a losers of the offseason, and I was trying to figure it out, and I was trying to justify how the Guardians would be in the winners category. I don't want to put them in the loser category, but Steve, I don't really see any other route that I have there, even though the season obviously can still bring a lot of good.
Yeah, right. I mean, but it's so hard for them in the offseason to... unless they're going to make a trade, it's going to be, you know, the second or third tier free agent player, just because that's the price point that works. And they've got to, you know, reconfigure their team every year and shift the money around to try to make certain areas. So they thought, well, you know, we've got some infielders that could potentially play second base. Let's move Jimenez, get out of his money now and in the long term. Then we can maybe spend it in another area where we don't have as much depth in that position. And, you know, you rely upon your minor leaguers, who's developing and what pace are they developing. And, boy, you know what? We thought this guy would develop more quickly, but now we got to spend money in that area to fortify it, or we have to platoon in that area to fortify it. So it's always a challenge for the smaller market teams to try to piece their team together. But, you know, I'd say Mike Chernoff and Chris Antonetti have always done a great job there. And I suspect the Guardians be right in the thick of things in the AL Central. Minnesota has not done a lot to improve themselves. Detroit lost out on Bregman, and so I don't see them, you know, making a big jump forward. Kansas City made a few moves around the edges. Jonathan India is going to be a good move for them, but you know, I don't think it's going to knock your socks off, and it's going to come down to, can their starting pitchers, they don't have Brady Singer, who ate up 170 innings, and so can they score enough as well? So I think it's going to be a well-matched division like what it was last year, and certainly the Guardians are in the thick of things.
Steve, fans in Cleveland would like the Dolans to spend more. My partner and I always get into the disagreement because while I understand the frustration, I also understand the situation of baseball economics and just how uneven it can be from time to time there is. But yet we have a lot of momentum. Rob Manfred's talked about it. I think some of the bigger market owners are getting a little frustrated at how much the Dodgers and Mets have spent. Is there enough momentum, you think, or will there be enough momentum to finally change baseball's finances in 2026 in a way that might make it a little bit easier to financially contend with teams like Cleveland and Tampa as opposed to just the big boys?
Yeah, so I don't think so. And it doesn't matter. I mean, the owners can do something to shift in recreate the pie of all the revenues that come in. But I will tell you, the union will never agree to a salary cap. So that's not going to happen. So the owners can fight among themselves, try to get to the point where they make an argument that they send their negotiators in with the players to say, we want a salary cap. Now go get us one. But the players are going to say no. It's a non-starter for them. And so I think the only way to do it would be more revenue sharing. And, you know, here's the thing. If I spend the money to buy a large market team, like Steve Cohen spent $2.6 billion to buy the Mets, he was buying an asset, and with that came the market within which it was, the revenues that he could generate being in that marketplace. And so you bought all that comes with being a large market team. To then say, okay, but now we need to level the playing field, so we're going to rob Peter to pay Paul to do it, or we're going to share so much revenue that we're going to take everything you're making that you spent. Yeah, we know you spent $2.6 billion more than anybody would spend in a small market to buy a small market team, but we can't function this way. I don't know that owners, large market teams, or teams that spent money on that would think that that's reasonable or fair, and nor do I, really. Mm-hmm. If I bought a large market team, I want the rights that come with it. And we had three AL Central teams in the playoffs last year. We've not had, you look at the NFL and the Chiefs were going for their third consecutive Super Bowl. And so, and we haven't had anybody win back-to-back World Series since the Yankees in 98, 99, and 2000. And so we talk about parity. So there are some teams that seem to get there every year, but not only do they spend money, they're well run and they're spending it on the right players. But there's still a pathway, and our playoffs are so hit and miss. There's so much that can go wrong for the best team in the playoffs that it's not always the team that's the best that wins. It's the team that's just playing the best, and that can be anybody, as we have wild card teams that make it every year. So I don't know. I honestly don't believe that the union will ever approve the salary cap, and I think it would be a battle for owners to even try, and I'm not even sure that it's worth it, considering that you can say finally agree on it, but the players are going to say no anyways.
Steve, we appreciate you, buddy. Looking forward to seeing where Hosey ranks later tonight. And again, thank you for your time, bud.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Steve Phillips, former MLB GM, also now with the MLB Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. MLB Network concludes its top 100 players right now countdown series live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, revealing the top 10 in the sport. Where will Jose go? Will he be fifth? He could be 10th. He could be eighth. He could be anywhere in the top 10. And Steve will appear on the show alongside Greg Amsinger and former All-Star Chris Young. Chris Trapasso, NFL Draft, NFL analyst at CBS Sports. He's got a deal for Myles Garrett. I need more. And I'm going to tell him that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, joining us here on Afternoon Drive. Chris, how you doing today?
Pretty good, guy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Appreciate you. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're knee-deep into the Shedeur Sanders conversation, so we want basically every breakdown of Shedeur and Cam Ward that you've gone through in the previous 3 months, and I in particular want to see how this has changed for you, Chris, and whether or not the previous 3 months has shifted your ideology on him or not, in particular Shedeur.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it still is the quarterback position. I think we all kind of view this on a consensus basis that this is not a Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams situation where these are premier prospects. I view Shedeur Sanders as kind of a Teddy Bridgewater, maybe a little bit more of an athletic specimen in terms of how he can drive the football. But I think there are concerns about his mobility at the next level, just making defenders miss. And at times, for as much as you're probably going to hear a lot about how accurate he is and how he can get into a rhythm, those things are true. But I wouldn't necessarily say, based on the film that I've watched, that Shedeur Sanders is like Joe Burrow accurate. Like, that's going to be his calling card in the NFL. I think in any other draft classes, like last year, he would probably be the sixth or the seventh quarterback off the board. Cam Ward is actually my quarterback one. I think he gives you a lot of the same things that Shedeur Sanders does, maybe not quite as polished, getting through his read as a pocket passer, but you can see those glimmers of what teams want at the quarterback position improvisationally, like off structure, pretty good athlete, not a tremendous athlete, but he can make plays outside of the pocket, throw on the run, is aggressive. Downfield accuracy wasn't great last season at Miami, but he still made a lot of big-time throws in some key situations. And what I like about Ward, which is kind of the final determining factor why he's ahead of Sanders, in my opinion, we've seen him grow as a passer every single season, from Incarnate Word to Washington State and then finally to the University of Miami. So I think he's an ascending player. Now, certainly everything at the combine, teams are going to try to pick apart everything that they bring to the table from a mental standpoint and a character standpoint. I can't speak to those things yet. These are two good and at times great prospects that have some clear flaws, but I think are still going to be top 10 picks in this draft.
So with that, because I'm fascinated about this, I feel like some folks are talking themselves in, well, you have to do this. I hate thinking like that. And so I always judge it like, you don't necessarily have to be Pat Mahomes if I take you with the number two pick, but I need some reassurance that I think you can get to be top 10, like a top 10 starter or consistently top 13 starter, somewhere in there. Do you look at either guy? Like, how do you see as kind of their range and their...
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Their ceiling in the NFL.
I think Cam Ward has a higher ceiling, and that's usually kind of what you just pinpointed is what I factor into the quarterback position a lot, where when I'm grading these players, it's great to be a high-floor quarterback, but what is that necessarily getting you? Like you're saying, that if a team's going to pick you in the first round, do you not have any room to get better? I think with Ward, because like I said, he has improved as a pocket passer, the accuracy has gotten a little better, he started to make more plays outside of the pocket a bit more, elude pass rushers in the pocket at a better higher frequency this past season in a tougher conference in the ACC. With Sanders, it's more of that high floor, that he's played a lot of football. He's been that. The last 2 years at Colorado, I don't think we're too different from each other, that he took probably more sacks than people wanted to see, but the offensive line wasn't great. And, yeah, there were games where it's like, okay, I can see it. He's a first-rounder. And then there were games where it's like, man, the ball was kind of dying as it was going to that out route, or it didn't have enough air under it on that post, or he took five sacks and threw three picks, and he just didn't look like he physically had it. I think from an on-field processing mental standpoint, Shedeur Sanders gives you that high floor where you would probably feel okay with starting him in week one. But Cam Ward in three seasons, I think there's a stronger likelihood that he is what you were just mentioning, a top 10 or a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
So is the reason why Shedeur, in your opinion, then, is why he's a top 10 pick is what you called him? And then is that all just based off of what his floor is, or there's got to be something more there, Chris, that you see, sure, to have him in and ranked as high as he is with the understanding that he's not going to fall out of the top 10?
Well, I think a lot of it is just positional value, and there's so many teams that need a quarterback, and it doesn't – I mean, there could be, you know, some Matt Stafford movement. Aaron Rodgers could find a new team, and that could maybe fill up some of those holes. But I guess I'm saying why I think they're both going to be top 10 picks is just the need at the position. – And while I do agree with you guys, I don't think you should just say, hey, like, let's just roll the dice at the quarterback spot, even if these aren't good players. But with potentially the Titans, potentially the Browns, certainly the Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders, absolutely. The Jets are now in a position where it's like, who's their quarterback going to be? There's a lot of teams right there within the top 10 that need quarterbacks. And we've seen there's a history of teams saying, look, like, we know there's flaws, but we're going to trust our coaching staff, the offensive line, the receivers, all of that, to get the most out of this player. We can't, like, the Giants can't go another draft without picking a quarterback. That, to me, is what's going to be fascinating, because I think most of the NFL understands, especially coming off last year's quarterback class that was filled with these freaky talents, like, how teams weigh that ultimate question. Do you just say, hey, this is maybe a B-plus prospect who we would probably slot into the mid-tier of the first round or back end of the first round, but we need a quarterback? Or are we going to try to load up and hope that next year's quarterback class is better? And I think, obviously, that's a question that Andrew Berry and the Browns front office is going to have to answer over the next coming months.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I was reading your most recent mock draft. You got Myles Garrett going to the Lions there. You also have the Raiders trading up for the number one overall pick. I'm curious, when it comes to what might end up getting the more trade return, if the Browns ended up dealing the number two pick and staying within the top 10, and they ended up trading Myles Garrett, what do you think could get the greater haul of draft collateral?
Are you saying between those two trades? Or
yes.
That's a good question. Probably Myles Garrett. I think that, again, because while there would be, and in that scenario, a team would most likely be moving up to pick one of the quarterbacks, and that usually you pay a little bit of a premium for it. I don't think that it's like, hey, you're trading for a Jaden Daniels type player who's Heisman winner, big-time athlete with a huge arm who's played a lot of college football, was great in the SEC. Caleb Williams came in with so much hype. When we've seen those ascensions on draft day for a quarterback, if it's a really highly touted guy, that's where there's those exorbitant prices where you're like, man, look what the Rams got in the RG3 trade, or what other teams have gotten to slide back when teams have picked a Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, something like that. I don't think it would be as much, and I still think, because he's still 29, Myles Garrett, even with the big contract, this is not an ascending player or a player that teams hope could, you know, really hit his stride in a new location. This is a perennial defensive player of the year that's been on back-to-back first-team All-Pros. So I think you could probably get more for Myles Garrett because he is an absolute proven commodity that would be very enticing for a team like the Lions or the Commanders or the Bills or any other of those teams that feel like they're one elite defensive player away from getting to and maybe even winning a Super Bowl.
Chris, we've talked a lot about like ceilings and floors within this convo. Abdul Carter is interesting to me. What is his ceiling, or what is the expectation attached to someone like him? We've only played 1 year at the position at Penn State, but he's obviously massive and he's huge, but did have the injury as well.
Yeah, so what's so interesting about it is like that that program at Penn State, they in Micah Parsons' final season, they were like, hey, yeah, like you can rush the passer a little bit, and he was really good. Goes to the Cowboys, and they first start him at off-ball linebacker. DeMarcus Lawrence gets injured, and then the rest is history. He's an edge rusher all day. I think with Abdul Carter, they saw those flashes early on as an edge rusher, and they're like, forget it. You're not an off-ball linebacker. We're just going to even give you like almost a full year of full-time edge rushing, and he was tremendous. Like he forced the pressure on almost 19% of his pass rush snaps this season, which is an incredible number for someone that, again, is relatively new to the position. Now, the injury to the shoulder, that, you know, doctors will have to check that out during the combine. Team physicians will have to look at it. But early on in the season, I was like, this guy's giving me Micah Parsons vibes coming from that same program, but it's like he's probably not going to be able to sustain that level of productivity, and he did. And I think if he works out at the combine, we're going to see that he is a very similar athlete to Micah Parsons. So I think the ceiling for him is that same player who went to the same program as him at Penn State.
3 years from now, Chris, who's the best interior pass rusher out of this class?
Probably Mason Graham. I mean, that's the layup. 6'3", 320, at least that's what he's listed at Michigan. I don't want to say he's the next Jalen Carter, but there are flashes of that. And Jalen Carter was like 6'3 and a half, 315, and like moved like he was under 300 pounds and like 6 foot. And what I like, and why I'm drawing this comparison, Jalen Carter for like two or even three seasons at Georgia, it was like, oh, he's the one. Like even when Georgia was sending a bunch of those guys to the NFL in the draft before he was selected, it was like, actually that number 88, he's the one who's going to be the really marquee prospect and potential all pro in the NFL. Same is true with Mason Graham, that Michigan wins the national title, have a ton of guys drafted on the defensive side and the offensive side, but it was like number 55 there is really, really good. So I think Mason Graham, his burst, his power, the pass rush move arsenal was really hard to find a true weakness to his game. And the fact that he did it multiple seasons and then did it this year when all the attention was on him. I mean, he had Kenneth Grant next to him, but I think he is the surest bet to just be a three down disruptor and can be someone that can be a 60, 70, 80 pressure player on the inside at defensive tackle.
Well, that's who I want in the top five if they trade down. So you just made my day. Chris, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. I'm sure we'll be bugging you throughout the rest of not just the draft process, but the Myles Garrett trade sweepstakes as well.
For sure. Reach out whenever, guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much. He doesn't realize what he just did.
That was a store
open.
I mean,
that's basically a blood oath for me. That was Chris Trapasso, NFL draft and NFL analyst. What?
I noticed you don't say his name like that when he's on the
phone.
That's
exactly how I said his name. I said Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got to react to what he had to say, but it's Mock Me coming up. After we react to Chris Trapasso, I'll get it. Now I'm in my own head about this because you nailed me on it on air. But send in your mock drafts. They can be just Browns picks. They can be your top 10, your top 5. They can include trades, include Miles trades, whatever. And we'll react to them live. Mock Me coming up in about 15 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.